I'm Ken Livingston. I'm stepping in for George Galloway today here on Comment, broadcasting live from London, only on Press TV. I want your calls on +44 208 601 4555. You can also send me a text on +44 78 00 00 8066. You can also send an email on to comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, there are reports so far, unconfirmed, but strong reports, that Israeli tanks have entered northern Gaza in what appears to be yet another invasion. Those reports say that there are tanks and bulldozers making their ways through farms and that there has been gunfire against those farmers. I'll be asking you about your views on how you think Israel's military offensive can be stopped and we start to see some genuine move towards a proper peace settlement. Perhaps, if these reports are true, it's something to do with Benjamin Netanyahu, the current Israeli Prime Minister, trying to assemble a coalition government after his party lost so many seats at the general election. Just seems to me pretty terrible if people's lives are at risk as part of the manoeuvring about putting together a coalition. And the brutal reality is, it's now almost two decades since there's been any progress towards a peaceful solution in the Middle East, not since the assassination of Israeli Prime Minister Rabin back in 1996, have we seen any progress. A succession of increasingly hardline and obdurate Israeli governments have done everything possible to prevent any further moves towards peace. Elsewhere, we see that Russia has condemned the nuclear tests conducted by North Korea, considering it a violation of the UN Security Council resolutions. It came after North Korea said that earlier it had successfully carried out its third underground nuclear test. They say it's merely a warning against further US sanctions. Western nations, including the United States of America, are gearing up for tougher pressure against North Korea, and I'd like to know your views and your perspective on how this story will pan out. I have to say, given that North Korea is one of the poorest nations on earth, the idea that the government is wasting money building nuclear weapons rather than creating a better society for the people of North Korea is breathtaking. Also, we're looking at the situation in Mali. Russia admits it is now sending arms to Mali. Well, I travelled through the Sahara Desert twice about 40 years ago. And what struck me, the people living in the Sahara Desert, whether in Mali or Algeria or Niger, they don't see themselves in nations in the Western European sense. If you talk to the Tuaregs who have lived there for 1,000 years, they're nomads. They move across that desert. They don't register which country they're in. And that's the way they've lived for 1,000 years. And it just seems to me as well, we've seen France intervening, the British Prime Minister David Cameron saying that Britain will get involved. It seems to me that Africa should sort out Africa's problems. The very first independent state, Ghana, back in 1956, the president, Nkrumah, said that as each African nation became independent, it should create a United States of Africa, a country that would be the equal of America or China or Russia, able to control its own resources and raw materials. Instead, what we've seen is 50 years, 60 years, in which the nations of Africa are still being plundered, and it's Western firms and corporations that get the bulk of the wealth of the raw materials that we have in Mali. Anyhow, that's enough from me. Osman from London joins us now on the issue of what's happening in Israel. Hello there, Osman.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you very much for your work you're doing for the voiceless people throughout the whole world. But before I go on my statement, I would like to emphasize that the Israeli government is untouchable. Why? Because the United States and the Western countries, they all support them whatever move they take against the Palestinians. For example, you know, the Shatra and the massacre they did in Lebanon years back. No UN inspection or human rights inspectors go in to see what damage they did to the Lebanese people, the Palestinian people in Lebanon. Look at what happened in Gaza. Now, United Nations inquiry or United Nations investigators allowed to go into Gaza to see the damage caused, the phosphate missiles they use against the defenseless Palestinians. So if the Israeli government going into Gaza and inflict damage to the Palestinians, it will not go anywhere. But if the fact that the United Nations is there, it has no power to control Israel, as I can see, because if Israelis having nuclear weapons, and no IAEA inspectors going in, but they are talking about Iran on building a nuclear bombs. So we don't know the stand of the West. But let me just conclude by saying that Saudi Arabia, the powerhouse of all the Muslim world, are closer to the West than to the Muslim people. Because if they are being cheated or they are being killed, instead of the Saudis or the Arab nations to stand and say, no, this is how we should go, or we're not selling oil to the West because these Palestinian people need freedom. But since they are together with these people, so as the Israelis go ahead killing the Palestinian people throughout the world, against the North Korean nuclear test. You know, the sanctions on the Koreans since the armistice is crippling the economy of this socialist or communist state. So the West should take the strategy of Clinton's administration of sending envoys and sit down with these people diplomatically. Well, to solve the problem, Osman, instead of giving sanctions.
If I can interrupt, Osman, I think sanctions very seldom work. If we look at the history of the use of sanctions, what the West should have been doing is trying to engage North Korea. Mind you, it is a particularly difficult state, one where the leadership just passes from father to son, like some old medieval British monarch or something. And I do think it is actually a very dysfunctional government. Quite interesting, there was an opinion poll, an international opinion poll last year, asking people what they thought of the various states. And only about 12% of people were positive about North Korea. And only about 14% were positive about Israel. Both of these nations have managed to isolate world opinion. But I think you're right to draw attention to the role of the Saudi royal family. The Saudi royal family has just broadly looked after itself. It denies any form of participation in government to the Saudi people. And for all its occasional bluster, it actually is there totally allied to the United States, who get that deal with the oil. And they then have American bases now in Saudi, completely and utterly unacceptable. Thanks for your call, Osman. I think we have an email now coming up. I hope we have an email coming up. Oh, here we are. Ah, this is from Danny in London. Hi there. I think that all the greedy powers want to get into Mali, drain their resources like they did in South Africa, Nigeria, and other countries in Africa. They want oil, gas, cheap labour, diamonds, and debt interests. Nothing else. I think there's a lot of truth in that. Around the world, countries where governments have tried to get more of their resources used in the interests of their own people have often been overthrown. We saw the situation back in 1953 when you had both Britain and America overthrow the democratically elected government of Iran, led by Mossadegh, because he was actually going to say, well, we're controlling our oil. He was overthrown, the Shah was put back on the throne, and the people of Iran had to put up with 30 years of a brutal medieval dictator, and there wasn't a peep of protest from the West. We're now, I think, joined from Mohammed in Tehran. Hello, Mohammed. Hello, Mohammed.
Hello.
Hi there. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes. In the morning, I wrote the Jerusalem Post that wrote the Human Rights Watch based on the U.S. condemned the Israeli air strike on Gaza in last November. And it said killing the innocent people in Gaza is bringing human violation. I think instead of this condemnation, it's better for the U.S. not support the U.S., not support the Israeli in their policies. And American people, I think, must ask their government not support the Israeli government.
Well,
I think the Iran Supreme Leader have done a big job and he asked Muslim world embargo Israeli goods. Muslim country must bring Israel under pressure by not using its goods. If all countries, if Muslim countries, if American people cooperate together and not using the Israeli goods, I think we can pressure Israeli Zionist regime and we can defeat them.
Mohammed, if I can interrupt briefly, Mohammed.
Only condemnation is not enough. The condemnation by the Human Rights Watchdog is not enough.
The Human Rights Watch condemnation will have no impact on the government of America. Part of our problem is that the vast majority of people in America and in Europe know very little about the history of Israel. Israel is a state that was founded on ethnic cleansing. Tens of thousands of Palestinians were driven from their homes at gunpoint, and all of this has been covered up. Israeli scholars published some of this about a decade ago and were immediately made to withdraw it. The simple fact is you've got people from Serbia on trial in the Human Rights Court in The Hague for ethnic cleansing and going to prison. And yet, any objective look at the majority of Israeli prime ministers over the last 60 years could have been on trial for similar crimes. And this is what fuels, I think, the anger of so many young Muslims around the world that they see such a double standard. Mohammed, thank you very much for your call from Tehran. We're now joined from Norwich. I think it's Lever from Norwich wants to talk about North Korea. Hello there.
Hello, Ken. It's a privilege to speak to you. A question and then a couple of comments. The only information I've ever had about North Korea is through the censored corporate media. Is the situation there as bad as they predict? Now, a couple of comments. If I was a US advisor, I would bombard the North Korean public with food, medicine, and free information capabilities, such as the internet, etc. Now, also, I've thought about the situation. If the only sort of power in reality to overthrow North Korea for the public interest of North Korean people, obviously, would be the US. But also, what I perceive what would happen then, they would just be another satellite, another state of the US, which capitalism would run riot, and maybe for the people at the bottom, it wouldn't be that much better.
Well, for a very long time, Lever, for decades after the Korean War, which started late in 1949, it was unclear who'd attacked who first. But when the communist regime collapsed in the old Soviet Union and a lot of the Russian files came out, it was revealed that actually Stalin had encouraged North Korea to launch that attack on South Korea, a catastrophic error. I hope now that pressure from the Chinese government, which is much the most important, because they have a shared border, they do trade. If the North Korean state were to collapse into terrible poverty, there'd be hundreds of thousands or millions of North Koreans crossing the border. And it really is, I suspect, only China that has sufficient influence to try and lead the North Korean regime towards a more sensible economic policy. If they could just follow the example of China, they could rapidly, a decade or so, have a much better quality of life for their people there. Certainly, I have to say, I can't think of any North Korean government in my lifetime that has been anything other than a disaster for its own people, irrespective of, you know, American and pressure and elsewhere. Anyhow, I think we have another email. Thank you very much, Lever. We have another email coming in. And it's from Stephen in Manchester. Israel entering Gaza, what's new? Israel has violated just about every resolution that's possible to be violated. Who do you think will pay for their bombardment of Gaza in 2008 and to now in 2012? Britain? No, it's the Palestinians. So how can Palestine rebuild its country? Well, I think that the pressure of the last 30 years for a dual state of Israel and Palestine, it's just not working at the present time. The successive Israeli governments since the assassination of Prime Minister Rabin have stalled and made it more and more difficult, building the wall. If there was anything to be viable about two-state solution, it had to be a shared economy with Israelis working for Palestinians and Palestinians working for Israelis. But the construction of the wall, the virtual imprisonment of the population of Gaza, I think we're very close to saying it's just impossible now to see a two-state solution. And because of the obduracy of the government of Israel, particularly under Benjamin Netanyahu, you've got to look at a one state of Palestinian refugees being allowed to return and recognising that both Palestinians and Israelis have got to live side by side and resolve those problems and their differences. Anyhow, we're also joined now a call from Niall in Dublin about North Korea. Hello, Niall.
Hello, Ken.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Go ahead, you've got the airwaves.
Sorry?
You've got the airwaves. We're all listening.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I just want to comment there on North Korea and the nuclear test. Well, let me start off by saying, first of all, that I'm fully opposed to nuclear weapons and nuclear power of any kind. Mm. And secondly, to the North Korean regime, who I think is just another medieval-style dictatorship, more or less, feudal monarchy dictatorship. I think that, you have to look at the bigger picture in order to understand the whole complex situation on the Korean Peninsula. First of all, you have approximately 30,000 American troops stationed in the south, in Yongsan, which is just north of Seoul. And then you have another 46,000 then stationed in Japan, in particularly in Okinawa. And over the last 5 to 10 years or so, we've seen heightened pressure being put on the regime in Pyongyang by the United States and by a more belligerent government from South Korea. But I think, Ken, when you look at it, we have to look at the bigger picture. Mm. And I think it comes from after 9/11, after the attacks on the Twin Towers, and that the U.S. named Iraq, Iran, and North Korea as the axis of evil. And after that, then the Bush administration, he expanded those forces of evil, bearing down on the world to include states like Cuba, Libya, and Syria. And all these countries were all earmarked for regime change way back in 2001, back in 2002. And it's been part of the U.S. foreign policy pretty much since then. Now, since then, so far Iraq and Libya have had regime change. And as you know, Syria will follow soon enough. And I would imagine that Cuba would also as well. And, and that would leave pretty much Iran and North Korea pretty much left in the picture there. And, because of this, Cuba and North Korea are effectively quarantined by Western-imposed embargoes, and Iran is subject to some of the most toughest sanctions seen in recent history.
So I think, Niall, if I interrupt there, I think it's wrong to compare Cuba and North Korea. I mean, I've been to Cuba. There is massive support for the government. The Cuban government has made certain that there's a fairly equal society. The average lifespan of a Cuban is longer than the average lifespan of an American. They've had healthcare for all the sanctions of America. Castro and his brother have constantly focused on what is right for the people of Cuba. I have to say, I think that the successive regimes in North Korea, with massive military resources, no doubt there is an American base, so that's a problem, but they have got that balance wrong. You've got to give your people a basic, decent quality of life, and successive governments in North Korea have failed to do that. Equally, in Iran, let's remember, the present administration in Iran came about because the people of Iran overthrew a medieval dictator that had been imposed on the people of Iran by an American-backed coup back in 1953. And there's a real legitimacy there for all the disagreements any of us may have with the policies of any one particular government. So now I think, you know, Cuba would be a much better example. I wish North Korea would be drawing lessons from what Castro, the brothers, have done there for their people. Anyhow, thanks for your call, Niall. We have another email coming in. And it's from Ying and Yang. Every month, the great Satan and South Korea carry out joint military exercises either on land or sea off the coast of North Korea, with nuclear-tipped cruise missiles in attendance. Are the North Koreans supposed to lie back and think of England, Mr. Putin, Lavrov and Churkin? I think that the scale of the North Korean military is such that it's just not possible for America to simply push in and overthrow the regime there. It would be an incredibly bloody conflict. There would be tens of thousands of American lives lost. North Korea has built a military machine that makes it pretty impregnable. The only way America could have an easy victory would be the use of nuclear weapons, and that would clearly be ruled as a crime against humanity. American leaders would be pursued through the international courts and brought to justice. So there is this horrible stalemate. All I'm saying is to the leadership of North Korea, rebalance the scale of your spending a little less on the military, a bit more on economic reform. And we're not asking the people, the government of North Korea, to adopt American-style capitalism, but look at the success there's been in China, where the Chinese regime has managed to introduce a dramatic increase in the quality of life for their people. Thanks very much for that email. We're now joined by Shahid from London, who wishes to talk about North Korea and Israel. Hi there, Shahid.
Hello, Ken.
Hello.
Hello. Basically, I just want to say thank you to Press TV for exposing Israel's crime. And I think Press TV is a wonderful show that you don't really get a news like that in the mainstream media. So that's what I want to say, first of all, to all the viewers. The thing I wanted to talk to you about was Israel. Israel is actually a lunatic state, Ken, yeah? Israel is time for people to wake up to the fact that Israel is... We have to put an end to this occupation. The way they're going on here, they're going to push themselves into their own sea. Israel is carrying out assassinations, killing women, killing children. It doesn't have a soul. The country is becoming... People talk about North Korea being so evil and this and that. That's because we don't know much about North Korea. But we do know Israel. We do know what Israel is capable of and what Israel is doing. And Ken, there's too much propaganda being used against Islam. Islam is a very, very peaceful religion, and it's a shame that people are telling such lies and such using such propaganda that they used.
Can I say that in all I've read in British newspapers about Islam, never once have I seen a British newspaper refer to the Prophet Muhammad's last sermon, where he says that no Arab is superior to a non-Arab, no white man is superior to a black man. And knowing that he's just very close to death, he gives that final credo to guide the Muslim peoples in the generations to follow, where he says that God, Allah put you on earth not to fight, not to oppress, but to get to know one another, not to terrorize, not to conquer, not to convert. And I've never once seen that in a British newspaper. It's all the demonization of Islam. And we've got to make certain people in the West understand the core, the truth of Islam, and not the way it's distorted by a few mad eccentrics. But, well, thanks for that. That's the end of the first half of comment. Join me in a few moments after the news. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Comment. I'm Ken Livingstone, standing in for George Galloway. I want your calls on +44 208 601 4555. You can contact me using the details at the bottom and throughout the show. We're discussing three issues tonight. The reports that Israeli tanks have entered Gaza, and tractors and bulldozers are damaging farms, and there's been shooting. The nuclear test in North Korea and what can be done about that long-standing conflict that actually has been around almost as long as I've been alive, actually. And then the situation in Mali, the intervention of the French troops, the British Prime Minister David Cameron saying that we will be involved as well, and now the news that Russia is sending arms to Mali. Is it right that once again nations from outside Africa are intervening in the affairs of Africa? We've had three centuries of colonialization, slavery, and the resources being stripped out of Africa by all the European powers and now American corporations. We're joined first from Africa, from Kenya, from Mohammed, who wants to talk to us about Mali. Hello, Mohammed.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Hey, what's the weather like where you are?
It's a bit cold, not very hot.
Oh, right. Sounds a bit like it is here in London today. Anyhow, what's the point you'd like to make?
Well, I wanted to talk about Mali. And what I wanted to say is that the West is eyeing Africa's resources, and this is just an excuse for second colonization of Africa. After all, the Mali saga was fueled by West intervention in Libya when vast stores of arms ended up in rebels' hands. So they are just cleaning up their own mess. And the Mali junta, which the French invasion forces aim to install in control of the rest of the nation, is facing yet more problems after mutiny broke out last week in Bamako.
I think
the fight reflects how little control the junta has even on what is nominally its home territory, and adds to concerns about how it will be possibly be able to be installed as a government across the rebel-held north, which clearly doesn't welcome them.
What?
And the other thing is that I'm really afraid. Me, I'm calling from Kenya, and in 3 weeks' time, we are going to have a election. And you remember the last election, there were violence.
Oh, yes.
And I fear for my country that if there will be any problem this time round, I will not be surprised to see British armies coming to our country. People are looking for the slightest excuse.
Mohammed, it would be very difficult for Britain to intervene in Kenya whilst we've now got cases going through the British courts about how British troops tortured Kenyans, castrated Kenyans that they were keeping in concentration camps, murdered Kenyans who were in prison during the Mau Mau uprising back in the 1950s. But I think as well, if you look at Africa, the map of Africa, compare it with America or Europe. In America and Europe, there are railways and roads that join the country up. The railways and roads that are there in Africa, they basically lead from the area where there's the mineral resources to the coast. The only infrastructure put into Africa was to allow Western corporate interests to take resources out of Africa. And one of the things that's held back the development of the African economy is the lack of that infrastructure. And it needs to be planned on a pan-African basis so that there can be much better trade, much stronger links between the different African nations. We actually look at Kenya. There's always very good roads that get people to the coasts and the coastal resorts, but there isn't much in the way that links up and creates the infrastructure for the development of a modern economy. And now, thank you, Mohammed, for your call from Kenya. We're now joined by Masoon, I think. I hope I got that right, from Surrey. Hello, Masoon.
Hello, Ken. It's Masoon.
Oh, Masoon.
That's all right. And it was nice to talk to you again. I just wanted to make a comment about Palestine.
Mm.
There's something that the world community should really come to a realization now, and that is the entity that we call Israel is not interested in peace. And I'm talking about peace, P-E-A-C-E.
Mm.
The only word that Israel understands by peace is P-I-E-C-E,
mm.
which means that she wants the rest of occupied Palestine piece by piece.
Mm.
And we have to always refer to the plan by Odid Yenon,
mm.
who wrote a document about expanding the Israeli entity's empire,
mm.
and that is by absolutely destroying the rest of the Arab world. And unfortunately, to our shame, our Muslim brothers in Arabia, and I will not call it Saudi, I will call it Arabia, or as we Muslims would say, Hijaz, which is at the moment occupied by Judaic Wahhabis. They are not Muslims, and that is why they have never come to the aid of Palestine. Where are these people, these Saudis and these Qataris who use Gaza like a real estate and program? Where are these people? What are they doing about the destruction that the Israelis are trying to carry out at the noble sanctuary? They're trying to destroy Jerusalem. They're trying to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Where are these Judaic Wahhabis?
I'm sorry to cut across you, but I think simple fact is, if you look at the history of the Saudi royal family, they did their, the first Ibn Saud, at the very end of the Second World War, had a meeting with the American president, Franklin Roosevelt, on an American battleship just in the vicinity of Saudi, where they talked about opening up the oil for the United States of America. And the deal that was done between the Wahhabi imams in Saudi was that the Saudi royal family would give them money so they could spread their particularly distorted and, I think, twisted version of Islam around the world, as long as they ignored the gross abuse, the indulgence and the fornication of the Saudi royal family, because they don't live by the standards of Islam at all. They're just a corrupt little clique that have ripped off their own country and prop up the United States and help and buy off the objections there would be from their local imams if they weren't paying them to spread that Wahhabi strain. We got an email. Thanks very much for that call. We now got an email. And it's from Jenny in Newcastle. Good evening, Ken. My question is about Israel. Is Israel accountable to UN security scrutiny? This is not a cliché criticism. It really is a question because I generally don't know. And who can take Israel to court? Why has it not succeeded? Well, very interesting point about that is that now the UN has given the Palestinians the status to be at the UN. They can now go to the international court to bring charges of war crimes against the Israeli leadership. And that's why America did everything possible and Israel to prevent the Palestinians being recognised at the United Nations. And I hope very much that the Palestinian Authority will now start proceedings, because basically at least half of Israel's prime minister have been guilty of war crimes and in some cases crimes against humanity. Israelis have got to come to terms with their history. They are a state that was based on ethnic cleansing. And until they acknowledge that and are prepared to say that the descendants, now 5 million Palestinians who were driven out of their land, there has to be a deal that allows them to return to their homeland. I mean, we aren't ever going to escape from this impasse. Thanks very much for that email. Now, Abdul joins us from here in the UK. Hello, Abdul.
Hello, Ken.
Hi there.
Thank you for speaking to me. I'd like to first talk about the situation at present with Israel and then how to deal with the problem. I mean, as you mentioned, Israel's power comes from America, and we saw that when Prime Minister Netanyahu visited, the congressmen hardly sat and they were just applauding him. I think out of 435 congressmen, apart from a dozen, everybody's under their control. And probably apart from four senators, everybody's under their control. And I'll tell you, one of my friends who's from India mentioned that in the late 80s, it was all in the newspaper that, you know, people from America were coming to study the Sunni Shia riots in a city called Lucknow in North India. And only now we realize what the plan is. I think they were studying, even from the 80s, how to split the Muslim world into Shia Sunni and then make Israel like how Turkey was in the Ottoman Empire. So that is the game plan for America. And the way out is one of the Pakistani generals, General Mirza Aslam Beg, and you know, he's retired and now head of the ex-servicemen. He mentioned that the way to tackle this problem is for Pakistan and Iran to get into a joint alliance defense pact and form like a nucleus of a Muslim nuclear power. And then, you know, because even the Pakistanis have now realized that what America wants is to denuclearize Pakistan and make it like under the control of their lord and master Israel. So once Iran and Pakistan are united and form a united Shia Sunni front, after that, you know, once two nuclear countries, they don't go to war. We saw that with the Soviet Union and America. But then we'll have a low-intensity conflict, and that should go on for about at least 10 years. Of course, America...
I think, let's be honest, we have to have consistency here. I've spent my life campaigning against Britain having nuclear weapons. I don't believe any nation should have nuclear weapons, and I don't want to see them spread anywhere else. And if I was living in Pakistan, if I was a young Pakistani man, I'd be campaigning against nuclear weapons there as well. They are, I mean, a weapon that can destroy so many millions of wholly innocent people. That weapon itself is a crime against humanity. It undermines the value of every faith, whether that's Islam or Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism. We should all oppose all nuclear weapons. I don't want to see them spread. I don't want to be used. I don't want to see them used as threats. So I agree with what you're saying, the criticisms you make about Israel. But let's not hope that we see the answer to this is a greater threat of nuclear weapons. We're now joined by Shokri, I hope I got that right, from here in London. Hello there.
Hello. Hi, Ken.
Hi
great
there.
Great show.
Thanks.
Great show. I was trying to make a 2 points. Once about Mali. I think, you know, again, we go back to the like old history, you know, anytime West brings a little bit short economically or politically, then the chaos, they always pick on the small countries like Africa, who has got such a resources, which is the demand in the West, and certainly, you know, the government is very corrupted, and people cannot do anything. I'm very feel sorry for these people of the Mali, which is absolutely suffering because of it. And secondly, I was trying to make a point about Syria. You see, again, my heart goes for Syrian people. Every day they kill with the hundreds. And then who they are fighting against? The people come from the Pakistan, Saudis, from Yemenis, from everywhere, from the from Libya. They are the bunch of people who I think they are not jihadis, they are the mercenaries. Who picking on the innocent Syrians and killing the innocent people, destructing their countries. In this scenario, I think is Turkey going to be biggest loser. Because Turkey is a neighbor to the Syria.
If you look back at the history of this, it's absolutely clear. Britain was saying to the Arab peoples, who weren't then divided into separate governments and nations, the Arab peoples in the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, everything from Turkey down to Aden, that they would support a great Arab nation if they came in on our side in the war against Germany in World War I. At the same time, secretly, they were saying to the Zionist movement, if you help fund our war effort, we'll create a Jewish state in the land of Palestine. Britain was lying, and then after it. But no, the interesting thing, at the end of that war, you can see the maps. They are there in the British Foreign Office, the maps where Britain and France were drawing lines that divided what we now see as Jordan and Iraq and Lebanon and Syria. These were artificial creations. I mean, broadly, they feared if you had one great Arab nation there running from Turkey down to where there is now Aden, they would not be able to control the oil. And it was, I mean, Churchill writes it absolutely clearly then in the early 1920s, we are bombing people in Iraq because we want to control their oil. That's all it was ever about.
Ken, you're absolutely spot on. And then secondly, you look at when the, after the First World War, you know, they divided like these countries. And then the way they set up the minorities, they cut off the minorities from each other, like brothers and cousins from each other. And they're never going to accept that. Doesn't matter how long the history is going to stay. Look at Jewish people. They want to settle their score after 2,000 years ago.
It took us a long time to become a Great Britain. We were very divided for a very long time. Hopefully one day the Arab world will speak with one voice and have one nation that can stand as an equal to the great powers like America and China. Thank you for the call. We just got another email in. Here it comes. And from Mayana in Cairo. Ken, Mali is just another ex-colony that again will be colonised. Is there any point arguing about this? Why can't you be a leading voice in asking Mr. Boris to persuade Britain and France to mind their own business? Well, I have to say, I'm afraid I have no control over Boris Johnson, the current Mayor of London. And although I have many great disagreements with him, the one thing that everybody who's written about him and autobiographies say, the one thing he cared about the most when he was a student, not protesting against what governments were doing, but passionate support for the state of Israel. And he's been absolutely consistent on that all the way through. We're joined now from Canada, Halifax. Gary is speaking to us. Hello, Gary.
Good evening, Ken. I wanted to say a few things about this latest Israeli incursion into the occupied Palestine. You know, we know the history, and it's time to extract appropriate conclusions from that history. The Israelis are notorious for always wanting people to recognize their state. How many times have we heard that refrain before? Well, I've gotten tired of refusing to trying to pretend that they're not there. Unfortunately, they are there. But I propose that we should recognize a state of Zionesia. You know, because these people are committing serial war crime and serial violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention in their sleep, when they wake up, when they go to bed. Mm. And what we have in Gaza going on today is just more of that. And it seems to me that Zionesia would be a most appropriate name, a state of Zionesia. It's like that joke that Mel Brooks, the American writer, came up with. You'll remember when there was a certain Secretary General of the United Nations by the name of Kurt Waldheim. And it came out that Kurt Waldheim was actually a Nazi officer in Thessalonica during the Second World War. So Mel Brooks's comment on that was, this was a case of Waldheimer's disease where you wake up one morning and discover you were a Nazi. Forget you were a Nazi, pardon me. And this is the Israelis are continually, this state of Zionesia.
Gary, there's one very good source on this, because it doesn't come from a Palestinian or a left-winger. The Israeli scholar Benny Morris, who started out as a young man quite left-wing, then became very hardline Zionist, strong supporter of the Israeli government's policies. About 10 years ago, in an interview in the New Left Review, He recounts how he discovered the details in the army archives of how they did the ethnic cleansing, something that Israel's been denying ever since. He then came under pressure to retract that, but it was too late. He'd already said it. So if we should actually make certain that people in America and Europe know the truth of this, that those those essays by Benny Morris should be given much wider significance, and Israel can't have a secure future until it comes to terms with the crime of ethnic cleansing that was there at the birth of Israel. Thanks very much, Gary in Canada. Now we're joined by Abdullah from Benghazi. Hello, Abdullah.
Hello.
Hi there.
Fine.
Good, good. Tell us what you want to say about the situation.
I want to comment about Gaza.
Go ahead.
Always Israel commit war crime and crime against humanity. But Muslim community cannot do something about it. Always they complain about Syria and others and leave Gaza. Always people are suffering. The United Nations to always see they talk UN and entire community or whatever, they cannot do something to favor Gaza children and women. Always people are suffering in Gaza and they don't get any help from the international community. And UN cannot do anything about it. They are talking about nuclear tests and this. Why people are suffering in Gaza since
Abdullah, can
up
I
to now?
Want to try and squeeze another corner? Can I just say, I mean, don't forget, here in Britain, Tippi Livni, who had been in the Israeli government, couldn't visit because she faced arrest on war crimes charges. And the current Conservative government in Britain changed the law so that visiting people couldn't be prosecuted for war crimes without the permission of the government. But it quite clearly shows there are real double standards here. We just got time to squeeze Zakari from Aberdeen in on the issue of North Korea. Hi there, Zakari.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ken Livingstone. Regarding North Korea and South Korea, Mali, and also Palestine, I've been in North Korea twice. Almost all was there, about 3 months, 4 months down there, and I know the condition of there, and I will assure you that the soldier is on order, which means his finger is on machine gun. And on the button. So the security of the North Korea, if you consider the North Korea problems, and the South Korea also, I've been there down there, and Mali, and all this, the common is America and the Britain and the France. And the
I'm afraid we're right up against the end of the program now. We just got 30 seconds left. It's interesting to hear from someone who's actually been to North Korea. I haven't. Hopefully you'll phone in again when George is back on the program. But that's all from me. I've enjoyed this. It's amazing how quickly an hour can go by when you're having a serious political debate. I just wish there were more shows like this around the world that everyone can see. Thank you all for taking part and calling, and I'll see you again one day soon. Goodbye.
Hello, just comment on your name and location, you left that number. And just make sure the phone, your television volume is set up to 0.
Zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You'll be directly put through this. Your phone number.